Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Amon.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant. Woo!
Okay, so today we are talking about two things that are the same thing, but still two things. We're talking about Paper Girls, which is originally a comic book series and has recently been turned into a TV show, a live action TV show streaming on Amazon Prime. So, Amon.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about both. We're going to compare the comic to the show. Mm-hmm. But what were your first impressions about the comic?
About the comic? What a wild ride. Like, mm-hmm. that is my first impression of the comic. What mm-hmm. a wild ride. And fundamentally, spoiler alert, this story is essentially about time travel, all right? Or rather, time travel is a big component of it. Mm-hmm. And I would say that there's a few different ways of dealing with time travel. One is the Marvel way, which is like, anytime you go back in time and change time, you know, that it branches off a new timeline because you can't be your own past or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. And then there is, you know, the Doctor Who version of dealing with time travel, which is time is kind of wibbly wobbly timey wimey. All right. Uh-huh. Which I believe Neil deGrasse Tyson said was probably the most accurate description of how time works. Right. Wibbly wobbly. But this one in Paper Girls, they deal with time travel as a single continuous timeline. All right. So you have to have closed loops and all of that stuff to prevent paradoxes, which so taking that, this is probably the best way, the best story that I've seen in terms of dealing with time travel when time is just a singular timeline. I thought it was dealt with better than Umbrella Academy, just as a point of comparison.
Okay. That's, you're talking about the comics.
So. Yes, the comics. I'm still talking about the comics. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Lena, what was your first impression of the comics?
So I loved it. Again, like you said, it was a very wild ride. It was like, every page, they're jumping from like so many different points in time. And so like kind of it's I've read it all so fast, too, that I actually think I need to reread it already. Because yeah. like I was just like, what is happening? Oh, my God. Like now they're in this year and that year. What? There was a lot of jumps. Like it was it was a much faster pace than the show, which is why I feel like I've already forgotten much of it. But the one thing that I did actually keep wondering about is in the comics, they never eat food.
Oh, and they never go to the bathroom.
No,
they did go to the bath, or at least they mentioned it. Oh, yeah. She probably ran off to take a dump. I think there was like one line in the comic. Yeah.
No, I think bathroom stuff was there, but like there was never a like conversation about like, guys, we need to find food. Like, we need to eat and restore energy and all this stuff. Like, did they sleep? Maybe they slept, but I can't remember.
There were two instances of sleep, I think.
Yeah. There was just so much going on in the comics, and there was a lot packed in and a lot going on and whatever. So, I didn't even realize it until after I finished reading all of it. And I'm like, when was the last time they ate? Like, it was just, So...
maybe every time you jump in time, it resets what was in your stomach so you were never hungry.
That's weird. But okay.
It's my working theory. It's my working theory to explain this, all right?
Maybe. Okay. Well, okay. What was your first impression of the show?
My first impression of the show was Turning Red.
Yeah.
Like the Pixar movie. You know, it gave me a lot of Turning Red vibes in the sense that It really dealt with, I thought, a lot of issues that women and girls deal with that's not discussed from that perspective, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought it was handled really well, everything from discovering and exploring your own sexuality to sort of, dealing with having your period. you know?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and all of that kind of stuff. And it was, I thought it was dealt with very, very well. Having said that, I didn't enjoy the time, the larger story arc as much as the comic. You know, I thought they simplified things way, way down to make it more digestible for the television medium.
Right. I had that same impression about the time travel part of the show. Although, I don't know if I was like a big fan of the time travel plot in the comics either. I don't know. We'll get into that. But I also agree that like, so what the show reminded me of is, like, in comparison to the comics, is that, mm-hmm. you know, all these like Marvel Disney Plus shows that they're doing, right. like Hawkeye and
right.
now She-Hulk and whatever. Like, those are such, like, you're going down to the street level of things and like right. going like into details. Whereas mm-hmm. all of like Marvel's phase, whatever phases they were up until Endgame, like 1 through 3, like, you know, that just got, it's, those stories just got bigger and bigger and what involved space and time travel and all this stuff. And
right.
with this show, with the shows that they were doing, like, they went down to like this like granular, more detailed level. And that's what I felt like this show was doing too, because the Paper Girl comics were like this big, like, oh my God, these four girls just got pulled out of 1988 and they're time traveling across freaking millennia and it's insane. And they're doing all these different time jumps and stuff. And they're just trying to get back home. And, but like, I feel like with the show, they were like, let's take it a little bit slower, especially when it comes to the character development. Like, let's really, like, for example, because, you know, in the comics, when, so the four girls are Erin, KJ, Tiffany, and Mac. And, you know, in the comics, when they travel forward in time to like 2019 or whatever, they meet older Erin. And, but like in the comics, that those interactions don't last that long. You know, when they meet some of their older selves, it's not that long.
Yeah.
But and the show, they really spent time on it because it was and those conversations were so interesting when it was like the younger girls talking to their older versions. And I like, so I really enjoyed that part of the show. Like that, that was fun. That was like fun to see. And I you could tell that the writers of the show were having a good time with that too.
Yeah, I think they did an excellent job of, in the show, of improving the character arcs for each of the four main characters.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, and the more I think about it, I think the reason that I didn't enjoy the larger time traveling story arc of the television interpretation as much is because there's certain things that you can't do in TV that you can do in comic books. All right. So, one of the things that they did in the comics was to show multiple scenes that are actually happening simultaneously. And along the time frame that the main characters are experiencing time. So at different points, each of the four main characters are in completely different parts of time. But if you take it from their perspective, they're experiencing these things sort of at the same moment. And the, in the comics, a lot of there were moments where they were laid out the panels to show these events happening simultaneously. And you can't really do that in the television, in a medium.
You could with like a montage type of thing. They've definitely done that before with TV.
You could, but it would be like really messy to do it that way, you know?
With with four different stories, like, in TV and film, there's definitely been, I mean, like, there's famous scenes from the, like, The Godfather, where they do this, like, paradox kind of, I forget what they're called, but, like, it's like a montage sequence where you're going back and forth between, like, one thing that's happening with one character and then with another character that's happening simultaneously in that moment. But actually, I don't know if, I feel like it's been done with, like, two or three characters showing different scenes, but I don't know if it's been done with like four or more.
I think it would be too much for an audience. The thing about the comic book though, is that when I open up the page, I'm looking at, literally looking at four panels at once on the same page. And I can then actually go back and forth between the pages follow one strip.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Flip back, follow through the next one. Flip back, and then the third, and then the fourth. Right. But also then view the whole thing at the same moment, you know?
Yeah,
take
yeah,
it in
for sure.
As a single thing. And you can't really do that in television. Otherwise, people would literally be talking on top of each other.
Well, no. You know? I mean, well, I
you
think
can
it's
do
interesting.
It. I just feel like it would be a lot in the TV medium because you can't slow it down when you're watching a movie or a TV show.
I also think it's interesting how you – is that how you were reading the comics? Because I was reading it like you said, there was like four panels, one on top of the other. And I would like turn the page. I would read it from like top to bottom, you know, or I would look at it from top to bottom and then turn the next page to 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, like the storylines.
So I did that, but then I flipped back.
And
so
then re-read it. Okay.
Yeah. So just for context, we read this on Comixology, not on paper. Mm-hmm. And I actually turned my iPad sideways, right? So I could see two pages at once. So that made it a really interesting reading experience for me because I could see the one continuous storyline cutting across the pages.
Yeah. All
right. And when I read 1, 2, 3, 4, the way you described it, you know, like on a single page.
Yeah.
And then when I went to the next page, I kept losing track of what was happening, you know, within a singular with the one character. Yeah. So I read it the way you read it, but then I went back and read it again as one continuous thing for each of the characters. And that really helped me sort of process the storyline, especially in that final volume. I thought in the comics they did a really good job of dealing with time in the sense of like you could have one battle that is happening within a 5-minute time frame, all right, from one side's perspective, but then the other side picks up in the middle of the battle like 30 years later from their perspective.
Yeah.
And if you think about how a time war would work, it totally makes sense. Why wouldn't it work like that?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I thought that was handled really, really well. And I think if they
in the comics.
Yeah. And I think if they did that in the TV show, you know, in a television style medium, it would be really, really hard to pull off.
Yeah.
At least not in a way that's digestible for most of your target audience.
Yeah. But I do agree that unfortunately they dumbed it down too much, the time travel parts in the show. And so, I mean, I don't know. It's clearly they've set it up for a season two. So we'll see how that evolves. But okay, wait, I have like time travel questions now. Because this whole time I just kept thinking like when they're jumping forward to the future.
Right.
Like, why would they meet their future selves if they themselves disappeared from 1988? There is no person to are they just jumping into different timelines, into different dimensions? Like, how do you explain this?
They're not in Paper Girls, at least, they're not jumping in different timelines. They are jumping forward and backwards in time along the same timeline.
Yeah.
All right? So they literally are meeting themselves, their own selves as they themselves, who they themselves will become in the future. Mm-hmm. All right. And the way they close it off in the comic series is that the whole thing ends with them being put back into their original point of departure.
Into their original,
with their memories wiped.
Right. In the comics.
And the comics. And that's how they meet their future selves, and their future selves don't remember this.
Right. Which, by the way, in the comics, I thought that was so beautifully done, the way that they go back. Like, they show the girls back in 1988. They don't remember anything that happened.
Right, yeah.
And they are about to just all part ways, all four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the last second, Aaron's like, wait, like, want to hang out? And then, it was such a perfect like ending to that story. Yeah. I felt very unsatisfied with the ending of season one of Paper Girls.
To be fair, that would have been the same as like stopping reading after volume one of the comics.
I know. Yeah, that's... But that was another thing, because they've changed the story so much.
Yeah.
I'm like, where are we at? Is this like end of volume one or volume three? Like, I don't know. So
yeah.
And I'm wondering like how much, like the writers, the TV writers of the show, like I'm wondering like how many seasons are they envisioning for this show? Because it's based off of a comic book series, like,
yeah.
I would imagine they would have some sort of finite number of seasons. I hope they do. I hate shows that go on forever and ever. I'm just like, this is stupid. End it. Like, must have an end. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So
a good storyline has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
And an end. Yes.
Yes.
So I don't know. I just don't know like what, but it's hard. It's hard to tell because they changed so much.
Yes, that's very, very true. They've changed. They changed a lot in the TV show, and not necessarily for the worse. A lot of the things ended up being way, way better. Like KJ's whole story arc, I thought was handled way better.
Yes,
in the TV show than in the comics. I feel like they added a lot to Aaron's story arc that was not there in the comics at all.
I think they dwelled on it more. Like, you know, clearly she's like what, 40 or something when they meet her, and they in the comics it was like, okay, she's like works for the newspaper or something, but she's not married, also doesn't have kids, and like Aaron always thought that's what her future would be like and all this stuff. And we just didn't spend enough time in the comics with that older Aaron.
That's
to
true.
Find out more. They just spent way more time with this Aaron. So you could see like what kind of person is she actually, the older Aaron and stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I thought it was interesting though, how they decided to create that rift between Aaron and her sister, Missy, the older versions.
That was,
because that was not the case in the comics. So I was like,
that, and also the whole storyline with her mom, that was there in the show, but not in the comics. But I actually thought it did more to develop Aaron as a character much more.
But in the comics, I think they did mention like Aaron's mom had died at that point. And she was sick. There was like one quick reference to it, but they didn't talk about how like Aaron was the main caretaker. Like they used that to create that rift between Aaron and Missy. So that's what I mean. Like with the show, they just slowed things down.
Right.
And they spent more time with each of these characters.
Yes.
And really spent time developing them, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah.
And like Mac has a way more developed storyline and character arc in the show than in the comics. Way, way more. And I thought that was beautifully, that served the character beautifully.
Yeah. And that whole like her meeting her brother when he's way older and that, I mean, that was so good. And then same with Tiffany too. Like, I mean, Tiffany had all these sort of dreams and expectations of herself, and she was like, I'm so proud of us, and then like her older version's like, look man, it's not what it's gonna have to be. Like, you need to chill. So
I do think, to get more philosophical with both, with really more with the show, you know, I think it really does sort of force us to think about what would your younger self say about you if they met you today. You know, what would, so Lena, what would your 12-year-old self say to you if they met you today?
That's like way too heavy of a question of mine. I have no idea. And I mean, I don't know. I have like journals from around the time when I was that age that I'm sure I could dig up and like read through things. Sometimes I do that, and sometimes it is so cringy that I cannot read my previous journals. And, but I don't know. Honestly, I think I would, my 12-year-old self would probably be happy and not surprised that I'm married, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that was such a, like, big a lot of times spoken, but a lot of times unspoken expectations, like, placed on all the girls in general, right? That, right. like, oh, you're going to get married, blah, blah, blah. This is what's going to happen. And mm-hmm. and it wasn't really until my 20s where I was like, why is that, like, it's not a guarantee, you know, right. that you're just going to, like, find someone and fall in love, you know, or whatever, yeah. you know, like, mm-hmm. at this exact perfect age that you're supposed to do it. And I didn't, you know, get married at that perfect age. Like, I was actually older than almost all of our female cousins. Like, they got married at a much younger age than I mm-hmm. did. And then I was kind of like this, like, black sheep of the family. And, but yeah, I honestly don't know. That's the only thing I know for sure that I mm-hmm. would feel about if, like, I was to, if my 12-year-old self were to see me now. But I don't know. What about you?
I think, you know, I was thinking about this a lot while watching mm-hmm. the TV show. What would my 12-year-old self, I think my 12-year-old self would be very, very disappointed in where I am in life right now. Mm-hmm. And because I now have all of the things that my 12-year-old self was like, nope, not for me. All right. Yeah. Getting married, having a kid, being very, very settled down. Mm-hmm. All right. And not even that much of a traveler or explorer anymore. I'm not even in, I don't even have the kind of job that sends me that where I travel to different places, which is what I right. always imagined for myself.
Yeah.
That I would have a kind of career where I would be trapezing throughout the world. Mm-hmm. All right. And the thing that I think I would have a very, very hard time trying to explain to my 12-year-old self mm-hmm. is how generally happy I am with my life right now.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. that, like, I think my 12-year-old self would be very, very disappointed in me. And yeah. I think I would have a very, very hard time trying to explain to my 12-year-old self that, look, we have now all of the things that we were avoiding and had decided at your age that mm-hmm. is not for us, but we don't get there sort of on autopilot.
Yeah.
It happens intentionally, and it's a good place to be. Like, yeah. I am in general, overall, very happy with my life and mm-hmm. where I am in my life and with what I have. And it yeah. would be very hard, I think, for me to explain to my 12-year-old self that the journey my 12-year-old self is about to take over the next 20 plus years, mm-hmm. all right, is a journey that may lead you here to this place that you're like, I'm never going to end up here. God forbid right. I ever end up here. But that it's not going to be a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what I'm going to have that's what I would have the hardest time trying to tell my 12-year-old self. Trying yeah. to explain to them, trying to get them to understand.
Mm-hmm. I think you and I would have, like, similar experiences as Tiffany had with herself. Yes. In the sense, like, the older Tiffany is like, dude, you don't, to a 12-year-old Tiffany, like, you don't understand. I mean, that's so true. Like, that's the same exact thing for me. When I was 12, I always thought that I would be traveling a ton mm-hmm. and, like, living in some big city. Like, I always wanted to live in a big city. Mm. That's kind of where, like, our childhoods were spent in Karachi and Kiev. Right. So, like,
right.
and they were big cities, and it was like a very city life that we were living in yeah. sort of those places. And that's what I always wanted. And I feel like my 12-year-old self would be like, what the hell are you doing in Maryland? Like, what the hell's in Maryland? You know?
What's
and,
Maryland?
Yeah. Like, no, just like, why there, you know? Yeah. And like, why aren't you, like, full-time living in New York City? And because right. when I went to New York for grad school, like, I was so excited. I was like, I'm finally going to be living in New York City. I've always wanted to live here at some point in my mm-hmm. life. And I only lived there for 2 years, and I could have tried staying, but I don't know. And now I have no desire to live in New York City. The rent is too damn high. And so, yeah, I don't know. Like, I just, yeah. Say, so, like, very similar to what you were just saying right now. It's like, we've both just been on a journey for ourselves, and mm-hmm. lots of things were intentional. They're not necessarily the decisions I would have expected myself to make as a, when I was 12 years old.
Yeah. I think the thing that annoyed me in the show Paper Girls was why did it felt like younger Tiffany and younger Erin won their arguments with their older selves.
Oh, I didn't get that impression.
I very much got that impression that like 12-year-old Tiffany leaves older Tiffany with like, hey, go do something with your life.
Oh.
You know? And younger Erin, like older Erin, I very much got the impression that like was like embarrassed to meet her 12-year-old self because she was like, oh my God, like I am not where I should have ended up.
Yeah, I mean, her 12-year-old self wanted to become, like, president or congresswoman or something, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and wanted to become a senator or something.
Yeah, yeah, something like that, yeah. No, that's – I didn't think they were right. I think the younger Erin and younger Tiffany are still on that journey to discovering who they are going to be. But that at the current moment, like – they're still being stubborn.
And
Tiffany especially was being very stubborn, like, go do something, whatever. You know, like
but here's the thing. I felt like older Tiffany was like ended up kind of, I feel like kind of admitting that younger Tiffany is right at the end. Rather than being like, you know what? No, I'm actually very, very happy with who I am and where I am. Younger Tiffany will get there. Bye bye.
Well, the thing is, the older Tiffany that we do meet, she's only 24. So she's also young still figuring shit out, you know?
Yes.
And I think they were both
all of our younger listeners, 24 is indeed young.
Yeah, that's true. No disrespect. But yeah, I mean, like, everyone is, like, figuring shit out in their 20s, you know? Like, you don't know anything about anything, really.
Yeah.
In your 20s, in my opinion. Like, I really don't think you know much about yourself in your 20s because there's too much you're still figuring out. And
but not only that, even in your 20s, who you are, and this is my impression, is still continuing to change.
Yeah. So
even if you know yourself very well, you don't know who you will be 5, 10 years down the road.
That's exactly what that reminds me of, that scene between Mac and her older brother Dylan, like when he's like 40 something,
right?
And he's like telling Mac about like what's gonna happen to her and this is how you're gonna be, and she was like, that doesn't sound like me. And he says to her, you don't know who you're about to become. I thought that was such a strong line. That was so good.
It was
in the show.
But
yeah, I mean, so just going back to like older Tiffany, like she's, I think both Tiffany's were right. You know, like older Tiffany was right to tell 12-year-old Tiffany, like, hey, man, this big dream you have of going to MIT, it is not exactly what it's cracked out to be. You know, like it's not going to go perfectly as planned, like as you want it to be.
Yeah.
And but younger Tiffany has this stronger sense of who she is at 12. Yes. Because older Tiffany at 24, she's like acting dumb for like that dumb guy, you know, like things like that, you know, like you can still tell that like Tiffany, 24-year-old Tiffany is like, you know, she hasn't fully realized her potential. And 12-year-old Tiffany was trying to push her like, no, you're meant to do, we are meant to do more than just like being some lighting designer in a club or something, you know, which is like not a bad job. Again, like that's a great job. And she seemed very happy and content with that too. But like, but I did think that 12-year-old Tiffany was more sure of herself and 24-year-old Tiffany had lost a little bit of that, even though she was confident in many other ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Those just, very strong points, Lena.
It just means I had, thank you. I had very strong points. But yeah, anyway.
One thing that the show didn't have that I really, really wish that they had pulled for more from the comics is dinosaurs.
They had it in the very last episode. But yeah, there should have been
they
more.
They needed more because dinosaurs are awesome. Yeah. And the real geek in me kind of hopes that in later seasons, if they do include more dinosaurs, that they'll be more scientifically accurate.
So, I know, like, with feathers.
More feathers! Yes! Yeah. I'm so glad you caught on to what I was trying to
do. Obviously, yes.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
I feel like every time there's an interpretation of dinosaurs, it should be updated with the latest knowledge and discoveries, regardless of how it was first portrayed.
You know? Agreed. Yes.
So, like, did they have more feathers in these later Jurassic Park movies?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Yeah. Like, just update it. Who cares what Steven Spielberg thought dinosaurs would look like back in 1992 or whenever the first Jurassic Park came out, which is a great movie. Not knocking on it.
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah.
But excellent now we know movie. More. Now we know more. Just retcon it. You know?
I agree. I totally agree. Yeah.
Add some more damn feathers.
Yeah. This information is all, like, very readily available, so you can't even use it as an excuse. Like,
seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
just add some more fucking feathers.
Yeah. I feel like this is where we can end this episode.
I think so too. Yeah. I think we covered everything that we really wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Just watch us think of, like, five more things, like, as soon as we hit stop.
I know. Jeez. Yeah. Well, anyway, as always, thank you for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you next time.